Minute 12. Why reading matters.
If I came and told you there is this one thing you could all do which would make you more imaginative, make your memory better, probably improve your personal relationships, make you a nicer person, and improve your learning capacity and language skills, you would probably be very skeptical. Well, I'm talking about reading. I'm not talking about the sort of reading that we all know is incredibly important, like the sort of reading we do for education, to complete administrative tasks, or just to get through life. I'm talking rather about fiction, stories, novels, poetry, the sort of reading where you are almost experiencing things from inside another person's head, where it takes you right inside the character's emotions and feelings and actions, so you are seeing it from their perspective. I remember my mother telling me that when she was a child, she was crazy about books, but that her father once ripped a novel out of her hands, saying that if you have to read, at least read something useful. What I want to tell you today is that, surprisingly, fiction is actually very useful indeed, in ways that we probably never suspected. In fact, it's probably more important than any other form of reading. And I have some new evidence, which comes rather surprisingly from the field of humanities, to support that. First of all, some not-so-new evidence. Some years ago, there was a series of experiments done by two New York psychologists, David Kidd and Emanuele Castano. What they did was take people and ask them to read relatively short passages from various types of books. Some of them were nonfiction books, books that explain concepts or provide information, and some of them were thrillers, with plots where you read about the events happening in a story, but not very much about the characters. You weren't inside their heads. And the third sort was the sort of fiction I am talking about, which is when you read things from the perspective of the characters of a story. After that, the people had to look at different photographs of people with very strong facial expressions, and they were asked to judge from the expressions alone what they thought was going on inside those people's heads. What the psychologists wanted to show was that without that ability to step outside yourself, it's difficult to imagine anything, really. You probably know that our brains are made up of neurons, or electrical cells, and that these join together to form pathways, which then form our thoughts, emotions, and feelings. Some of these pathways are pretty similar in all of us, because they're actually built into our genes. Now, I just want to show you quickly the difference between speaking and reading, because they are very different. Speaking is something that, again, is in our genes. We already have those pathways wired into us when we are born. All you have to do is put a baby around people who are talking, and sooner or later, they will start to do it too. It's natural. But reading is not. You could put a baby in a library surrounded by books from the day it's born, and it would never start spontaneously reading. It has to be taught how to do it. And this is the reason why speech has been with us for at least 100,000 years, but reading probably only started about 5,000 years ago. And until about 100 years ago, most people didn't do it at all. Every person who learns to read has to literally learn it all by themselves. This means making new individual pathways. For instance, when we see abstract symbols written down, our brain has to do a lot of work. When we learn to read, we have to create all these new connections in many, many different parts of the brain. These are really complicated networks that are being formed in the brain when we read. When reading, your brain is actually doing a lot more work and connecting far more parts than speaking requires. It forces us to use parts of the brain that aren't usually used. More than that, the reason, or one reason why it's so widespread, is that when we read things about somebody doing something, run for their life, or they're screaming, or they're frightened, what happens in the brain of the reader is that those same parts of the brain are activated that would be active if they were experiencing the situation themselves. For some people, this connection is so strong that they actually do report experiencing the same happiness, anger, or pain as the characters in the book they're reading. As a result, when we read, we become more sensitive to other people's feelings. We develop more understanding for other people's emotions, thoughts, and views. And the more we are able to understand, the more tolerant and open-minded we become. In a nutshell, reading is not only good for us intellectually, it's also good for society as a whole, because the brain is like a muscle. The more we read and exercise it, the more we learn about other people's perspectives. We sympathize and empathize with the main characters, and by doing so, we become more open and understanding, and in this way, can actively contribute to a more empathetic and tolerant society. Thank you.